Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And joining us, probably one of the final times, as the rock and roll senator, we have none other than State Senator, Weymouth Mayoral-elect, Bob Hedlund. Welcome to Monday Night Talk. Welcome back as the, I think, the mayor-elect, right?
Yep. Good evening, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I thought I had the governor on. He was on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I don't know if we did it then or if it was a couple of weeks prior to that, but we did a little Aerosmith, old school Aerosmith. I know you're a music guy. I know if you enjoyed that cut out of Toys in the Attic.
Did I enjoy that cut out?
That particular cut.
Oh, absolutely. That's Make It, I believe, from the debut album.
That's correct.
And actually, you know, that precedes me. That would have been more in the governor's wheelhouse because he's older. But that album actually precedes me. I kind of got into Aerosmith, the Get Your Wings album, which I believe was the follow-up. But that was Make It from the debut album, the album that had Dream on it that generated some controversy.
Yep.
Recently.
That's technically that was the opening track, Make It. You are correct. And that has one of my favorite songs on it. And I kind of got a chuckle out of the governor because I told him one of my favorite songs, the song that I played for him was One Way Street, which you don't hear anymore or too often on the radio. But there was a time when you played records and you played the long songs so you can go outside and have a butt or do whatever you got to do. So you didn't have to jump and play another record moments later. You know that.
Well, we heard that song One Way Street a lot in the Senate.
Really? Why is that? Because of the imbalance?
Yes.
That's what I kind of thought.
I think that was, by the way, I want to say 1974. And of course, the lineup, Brad Whitford on guitar, Joe Perry on guitar, obviously Tyler on vocals, Joey Kramer on drums, and Tom Hamilton on bass.
See, this is why I enjoy our conversations, because you have such an in-depth knowledge when it comes to music and so many other things. And I'll hope that it continues as the next mayor of Weymouth. How are things going as far as transitioning from the State House to City Hall?
Well, the transition within Weymouth itself is going pretty good. We have a lot of personnel issues, some key positions in the town are vacant, so we're going through a process to try to staff those really important positions, like the town's planning director. And he's been on the job since 1980, so with him, a lot of institutional history and knowledge will be going. But he's agreed to stay on to try to work with the successor. We've got the CFO position open, and the only position thus far that we've really filled of the vacant positions is the chief of staff type position, and one of the folks from the State House will be transitioning with me for that job.
Now, would that be like a Beatles fan, like a Jared Valenzuela or somebody else?
No, my current chief of staff, Ted Langell, and I, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure he has any musical interests. So,
oh, okay, all right, that's good. That's definitely good to know. So, what do you see? How is the transition with Mayor Kay? How is that going? Are you finding that to be fluid?
Pretty much. There's a couple things that prefer, weren't done, but overall, she's been very, very cooperative. It's been a pretty good working relationship thus far, so we're happy with that. And you asked about the transition from the office to this. I'm dreading we haven't really started transitioning out of the other office yet, and that's going to be difficult.
Have you had some of your colleagues already coming to your office and kind of saying, hey, well, we're going to miss you and miss your voice? I mean, what are you hearing from your colleagues up at the State House?
Yeah, that's been kind of the comments generally. I was actually at an event last night where there were a lot of political types, so it was interesting to be in that crowd to get some feedback. A lot of Democrats here, not just state senators, but kind of political activists from around the state. So that's good, and I think hopefully some of those ties are good. The governor, actually, you brought up the governor's name. He actually, his folks made a call to us yesterday. They They wanted to see if I would sit down with the governor for me to talk to him about our transition. So I have no idea what that's about. But I'm not gonna pass up the opportunity to get in front of him, because there's a lot of issues in Weymouth that the state is a partner on, and we would like to certainly keep those on his radar screen. And it's kind of funny, because I requested a governor with a meeting to try to work and get his attention on an issue that we're working on in Hull that I'd like to see. It's not going to get resolved before I leave, but I'd like to see us on a path to getting it resolved before I leave. And that's a land swap issue in Hull that the state has been, specifically the Department of Conservation and Recreation, has been resistant about, and some Fort Revere issues down there. So trying to tie up a couple loose ends. That's probably the biggest one right now.
How about as far as the district? You mentioned the district. You talk about it. You know, have you heard from some of the municipal folks that you've dealt with on a regular occasion, or constituents who have called you over the years to talk to you about various issues? Give me your thoughts on that.
It's been interesting as I, you know, still do this job or travel around the district, and you know, people weigh in on that and wish us luck, and that's been nice. One of the boards of selectmen has asked me to come in town hall and say a little farewell. But it's interesting, because that's the town where I just mentioned that we've got those loose ends we're working on. So that's kind of funny that they want to say a goodbye as working on a couple things that we'd like to get done for the before we leave. A little ironic there. And it's funny, just because of the campaign here in Weymouth, I'm getting a lot of feedback in the street. It's funny, a state senator, you go into the supermarket and it's kind of intermittent that people want to stop you and weigh in and talk about something. But now it's universal. It's really strange that I don't know if I'm more recognizable to people, or people just more vocal about wanting to discuss things when you're the CEO of a town as opposed to a member of a legislative body in Boston.
Okay. Let's kind of talk a little bit about your years up on Beacon Hill. I mean, any memories that kind of are still with you that you're kind of holding on to and reminiscing these days as you're making the exit out of Boston to be more on the South Shore from here on out?
Well, you know, after 20 years, I've probably forgotten more than I can remember on certain things, and they pop into your mind. Different events spark different recollections. But, yeah, certainly a lot of memories, and, you know, some of them are on the personal level and, you know, anecdotal things that are pretty funny, and then the important stuff that we've worked on and, you know, interactions with different governors and, you know, some of the good things about the job and some of the bad things about the job. There's been certainly a lot of them, yeah. On the legislative front, you know, that's the question I get most frequently asked, you know, what are the issues that you worked on that you're proud of, or that, you know, the way I look at it on the issues, not only proud of, but the things that the most effort sometimes aren't always the most glamorous things or the things that garnered the most headlines. But a few things come to mind. Certainly Melanie's Law, that I was the Senate sponsor. The House sponsor was Frank Hines at the time, former state representative from Marshfield. And what galvanized that issue, as you recall, was the terrible tragedy involving Melanie Powell in Marshfield. And, you know, we couldn't have done that without the governor and his muscle getting behind the bill and working and coordinating efforts to get the bill through the legislature. But what had happened at the end of that, Kevin, that people forget, is the Democrats mainly in the House watered down that bill and took some key provisions out that took a lot of the teeth out of the bill. And there was a discussion that we had as Republicans in the Senate when that all happened. Do we vote for it and accept half a loaf and claim victory, or do we fight against it and try to convince the governor to veto the bill in order to make the Democrats come back to the table and put these important provisions in? And I was very vocal that we should have hung tough. There were some that wanted to just, you know, get the press releases going and claim victory. But we were able to, we voted against it. We were able to convince Governor Romney at the time to veto it. And that forced the Democrats to come back. And I have to say, the Patriot Ledger really covered that issue thoroughly, more thoroughly than any of the Boston papers, and really kind of drove, helped drive public opinion and forced other newspapers to look at what was going on, and ultimately we prevailed. So I'd say that was the one that took a lot of effort, defeating the effort to put the LNG facility out on Brewster Island was something that was very rewarding. Very horrible piece of special interest legislation that the leadership in the House was trying to jam through. So I was aligned with a lot of environmental groups on that, and that was interesting. Early on, some of the things, you know, that we did early in the career stick out in your mind, and getting some relief on the highest water rates in the country that we had in some of the towns I represented. That was something we invested a lot of time and effort in, and probably had to work the legislative process more thoroughly than anything else we worked on when we got this water SRF program in place to benefit some of my constituents that were literally paying the highest water rates in the continental United States as a result of some federal mandates. So those are the quick ones that jump out, but after 20 years, we could probably go on all night about that.
And I would let you if we had all night. And again, we're speaking with State Senator Bob Hedlund, who is now mayor-elect in the town of Weymouth. And I want to kind of just stay with Beacon Hill just for a couple of more moments here. And being somebody who's out there, you know, up there on Beacon Hill, whether you're on the floor and you're arguing a point to a bill or an amendment or something, any particular times that you've had one of those hardcore discussions or arguments with a colleague of yours in the Senate that still stays with you to this day? Well, no harm is intended, and there's no disrespect intended. It's one of those things when you are looking to represent or trying to push a bill in the right direction. Anything?
I mean, there's some that I've formed bonds and friendships with folks on the other side of the aisle that we've worked on stuff. But, you know, a couple that stick out in my mind. I mean, I mentioned the LNG proposal to put this insane proposal that would have benefited one company. To put an LNG storage facility on what Edward Rowe Snow called the most beautiful Boston Harbor Island, which was out of Brewster Island. And at one point during one of the legislative hearings on that bill, it became a little heated. And it's the first time I probably, you know, in that role, in that building, in a formal setting, almost lost my cool and wanted to physically confront someone, and actually I almost got up and interrupted a hearing. It got so contentious. Now that jumps out at me, and that person is someone that's been in the Senate almost as long as I have been, and I think we would consider ourselves friends prior to that and after that. But at times Senate's very collegial, but at times, yes, it can be contentious, and that was an issue I was passionate about, and it got very contentious.
So we look now where you're going to be, as of January 4th, you will be the new mayor in Weymouth. Give me your thoughts. I mean, you've got to be laying the tracks right now for your first 100 days, some of the initiatives that you want to kind of get going right out the door, anything that's in the works right now or you're developing?
Well, you know, you have in the campaign, and not having served in the municipal government side of the equation, certainly in the campaign you lay out some vision, you lay out some goals, and set some goals. What we're learning now is, you know, how realistic are some of those goals? And I didn't really make any promises in that campaign to any groups. It's kind of liberating. You know, we felt we were in a pretty good position going into the race, and I didn't want to make any promises I couldn't fulfill. I did find myself making one promise, because we talked a lot about revitalizing some of the town squares in Weymouth, and we don't really have a downtown. We just have a number of smaller village squares. And the issue of Columbine Square came up. So I did make some promises on that. And what I've learned now in the last couple of weeks is we've had a feasibility study done. And so there is some backup engineering, not engineering, but backup planning work that's been done. And it looks like I may have the ability to actually fulfill that promise, because I said, you know, I'd like to start with that particular square. It's one of the larger ones, and it needs a lot of work. And we'll have the ability to fulfill some of those promises early on. So I want to get together with our new planning director once we have one in our engineering department, and get some things happening so that at this time next year we'll actually have some improvements in that square, and use that really to set the tone you know, to demonstrate that we're gonna get some of this stuff done, and we'll be able to move on to the next square at some point and get some improvements done, and hopefully make them more attractive to prospective tenants, because we do have a lot of empty small business storefront space in a lot of our town centers. So that would be one, because it was the only promise or goal that I set. But a lot of things that the mayor had started on, you know, one thing, she's got a solar initiative in place, and what I put it yesterday, just kind of stumbled on some additional information that led to a couple of meetings, that we believe that we can take the good path that they're set us down and actually improve upon that and come up with a little bit of a better plan than had been outlined, that's actually going to not only save the town more money in energy costs, but actually generate some revenue for the town at the same time. So we're excited about that. So a lot of little things. Continue on with Southfield. The council just passed a rezoning plan. This is one of the largest developments going on right now in the Northeast. So that's going to be, we hope, an economic driver for the town. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of related issues to that, water, sewer, traffic, but everything else regarding that project, finally, after all these many years of stalled starts, is actually humming along pretty good.
Now, when will you actually step from Senate? Are you going to do that towards the end of this month, or just a couple of days prior to you being sworn in?
Yeah. Yep. All of that transition will occur on January 4th.
Okay. Good to know. I can ask, you got to be watching some of the folks who are starting to set themselves up and take a run for your seat. What's your thoughts of kind of sitting back and watching this race as it forms?
Well, if you look at history, and there's a little connection to WATD here, but the last time that this seat was an actual open seat where there was no incumbent seeking re-election was 1990, and we had seven candidates, all credible candidates in the race. You even had, you know, more than seven initially looking at it, but ultimately seven turned in papers to run, and all ran very active, very, very spirited races. I find it interesting with the seat being open for the first time in 25 years. And, you know, it's a special election. So if you're a sitting official, state official, you don't have to give up your position to run. So it's a free roll of the dice, so to speak. I'm shocked that we don't have more candidates that are actually in the race and out there. You know, maybe when the actual resignation occurs, we may have more. But it's a foregone conclusion that I'm gone. So you would think it would have drawn out more candidates, and I think that's just symptomatic of the times. There's less civic engagement. I talk about that all the time, as you know.
Mm.
But right now, I think we only have three candidates that have made their intentions clear that they're running.
Right. And Senator, we just had, prior to your segment here, we just had Paul Gannon on.
Right.
We're chatting with him. And last week we had someone that you know very well, Pat O'Connor, who has also thrown his hat in the ring of being the Weymouth Town Council president, and somebody that has worked with you closely. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. There's you know, Mr. Gannon from Hingham, Mr. O'Connor from Weymouth, and Brian Cook, mm-hmm. attorney out of Duxbury, I guess, who's going to run as an independent. So you've got three candidates thus far. I would assume there'll be more. And yes, you're right. O'Connor is longtime legislative director of mine in the State House. He's got a familiarity there. But, you know, he also brings to the table some municipal experience. He's been on the Weymouth Town Council for a bit now, and last few years has served as council president at a very trying time, I might add, throughout those Southfield discussions when we did the new legislation to set up the whole new structure there. So, yeah, there's three good candidates, and I'm supporting O'Connor, and I think he'd make a good state senator. So it should be an interesting race to follow. It'll be very strange for me to watch that race unfold.
Well, we're just about out of time. Of course, we have lined up another song for us to kind of exit out of. But if there's something that you want to say in closing in regards to serving as the state senator in the Plymouth Norfolk District, to your constituents or any of your colleagues? Anything you want to kind of say in closing and close that chapter?
Well, I think you and I will stay in touch, and I hope to be still vocal on state issues, obviously, but and you know I have opinions, but I would love to use the opportunity just to say to the listeners, you know, thanks for the support that I've received and the honor of having represented them. I've met a lot of great people. It's one of the things I love about the job is just, you know, I like people. You know, I just hired someone recently or was looking to hire them, and they made a comment they don't like people. You know, they'd rather be in a cubicle. I'd rather be out and about interacting and interfacing with people. Not everyone that you meet, you know, it's a pleasant experience, but I enjoy that part of the job, and there's some great people on the South Shore. Town officials that I've worked with, for the most part, have been a pleasure to work with. And, you know, I'd be remiss not to say that one of the great things about the job was being able to bring my voice down to WATD and interact with people that way. And, you know, host the show that I have ably, you know, turned over to you, Kevin. You've ably continued that tradition. So I do want to stay in touch through this medium.
And we shall find a way to have you on a semi-regular basis. We'll look forward to that. And of course, we need to segue out here.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just offer a protest? I mean, you know, you played Aerosmith to introduce Baker, which, you know, they're one of his favorite bands, but, you know, how come I don't get any, like, UFO or something?
Well, all you have to do is ask, what would you want to hear for a song from UFO?
Well, the most underrated hard rock band of all time. You can basically go with anything out of their catalog, but I maybe an appropriate song, given the fact that we'll be turning the light out at the Senate office really soon, Lights Out.
All right, per request of State Senator Bob Hedlund, a little Lights Out from UFO to take us into the commercial break here on 95.9 WATD. You are listening to Monday Night Talk. More show in just a moment.